One Zambia, One Nation. So the program that's about to start is called the Grassroots Program. This is an agriculture program that is brought to you every week. It is hosted by Bruce Dankwes. Bruce Dankwes is a commercial farmer based in Monze. So he shares his insight in agriculture and what farmers need to do. And this program is up for sponsorship. So to all the business houses out there, Grassroots Program is up for sponsorship. Call our marketing department on 0974-403007 or visit our website, which is www.afrozamradio.com, or go and like our Facebook page, which is Afrozam Radio, and you might get the chance to sponsor this program. So without further ado, Bruce Dankwes, take over.
Thank you, Bright. Yeah, so last week we talked about planning, which is one of the tools which commercial farmers use. And this week we're going to talk about science. Now, science is quite difficult to define and comes in several different branches. There's physics, which is how materials behave and how energy works. There's chemistry, which is how the different elements join together to make simple compounds like salt and water, or even more complex molecules like proteins. There's biology, which is how living organisms live. Astronomy, which is how the stars are formed and how they move through space, etc. There's geology, which is the science of rocks and soils, and so the list goes on and on. There's also the social sciences, which explore how we relate to each other in society. There's medicine, which is a special branch of biology. Psychology, which is a special branch of medicine. Now, obviously, not all of science, so not all of that knowledge, is applicable to farming. But a great deal of biology and chemistry and a little bit of physics is applicable, and we collect all of that together under the name of agricultural science. What exactly is science? It's kind of our current best understanding of how everything works. And I say current because throughout history there have been developments in science which have forced us to change our minds, because what we once thought was true is found out to be wrong, or at least not true under all circumstances. The best example of this is that for thousands of years, after we had learned to read and write and to discuss these ideas, we believed that the sun moved around the earth. It certainly looks that way, but it was a group of scientists, and the name scientist hadn't even been invented at that time, who, about 500 years ago, took careful notes of how the background of stars in the night sky changed through the year, and they worked out that the planets, because they did know about some of them, they didn't know all of them, but they did know some of them, must be moving in elliptical orbits around the sun. And the Earth was also a planet, and so it was also moving around the sun. It just feels wrong, but when we look carefully at all the evidence, we realize that that is the correct explanation. Science also tends to fall into two broad categories. There's what I call the easy science, which generally describes a very simple situation over which we have full control. None of these simple control conditions we can predict exactly what will happen. An example of that is magnets. Our magnets always come with both a north pole and a south pole. You just cannot have a magnet, which is what they call a monopole. They're all bipolar, they all have a north and a south. And the north poles of two magnets will always repel each other. Then there's what I call the hard science, where the results are not always so easy to predict. Unfortunately, a lot of agriculture science falls into this difficult hard science, because there's so many variables that it's not always possible to predict with absolute certainty what will happen. And in this hard science, we often have to qualify our claims by saying, if you do this under these very limited circumstances, then that should happen. And soil chemistry is a very good example of this. In most circumstances, we can say that if you apply a lime to the soil where the pH is already fairly acid, let's say a pH of 4.5, you will get a yield improvement. But there are certain circumstances where the soil might be so very short of zinc that by applying too much lime, let's say 2,000 kgs per hectare in a single year, we actually might make the shortage of zinc so bad that the yield goes down instead of up. Another example concerns boron and calcium. We might experience a boron deficiency in our maize, That's where the cobs don't fill properly with grain all the way up to the tip. And so we might apply boron at the correct rate, which I think for maize would be about 3 kgs of soluble per hectare. And we might not get much yield improvement because in order to utilize boron, our plants also need adequate calcium. And without enough calcium, the plants simply cannot benefit from having the boron alone. For this reason, the hard science has to be repeated again and again under a wide set of different circumstances. And each time it is repeated, we have to be careful records, and eventually we will know that under these certain circumstances, if we apply that particular fertilizer, we should get a yield response of perhaps about 20%. However, under other circumstances, that same fertilizer might only give a yield response of 5%, and that will probably not be enough. I should also mention one thing that science is not. It is not a series of claims that people can make, which is not backed up by either the evidence of the planets moving around the sun, or the data from their controlled experiments. So when people claim, as some of them do, that the moon affects the rainfall, they are actually making a false claim, because there's no data that supports that theory. And I can explain that by saying that the whole world experiences a full moon on the same day, and the whole world experiences a new moon on the same day. So if the moon affected the rainfall in any way, then the whole world, or at least the whole of the southern hemisphere, should experience a rainy day on the same day. Yet even within Zambia, we might have rain in Monzi, but not next door in Pemba or Choma. Another piece of evidence that shows that our rain is not affected by the moon is that the moon follows a 29-day cycle. So if the moon affected our rain, then our rainfall ought to follow a similar 29-day cycle. And if you look at any set of rainfall records, you won't see that 29-day pattern. So this difference between scientific claims, which can be true under specific circumstances, and unscientific claims, which are not supported by the evidence, helps us to focus our efforts on things that work, and not to waste our resources on things which don't. So if anyone comes to us and claims that by spraying this particular chemical on our crops we'll get a 50% yield increase, we can be very skeptical. We should not believe them. We should ask for the evidence, which should be in the form of a controlled experiment done by independent scientists under proper research conditions. And these conditions should be similar to the conditions on our own farms.
Just now, a farmer from Sibanyati, where experts are not found, what should that farmer do to make sure that he or she is able to get more information from the experts on the point that you just mentioned?
A very good question, right? There's a lot of research that has been done in southern Africa, and some of those conditions are similar enough to Sibanyati, so that if the person who's trying to sell us this chemical can show that in a sandy soil in Zimbabwe, because Sibanyati is sandy soil, it's not heavy red soil like they get around Chisamba and Mazibuko, and they get similar soil to us in Zimbabwe. And if in Zimbabwe they did that trial under the supervision of the government Department of Agriculture and they got the yield increase, we can believe them. But the other thing that we can do is say to them, okay, you claim this chemical is going to give us a 50% yield increase. Here's my field. Choose two lines that you're going to spray, or one line, just one line that you're going to spray with your chemical at your cost. And we'll come back at harvest time and see if there's a difference. And then if you come back at harvest time and you see that there is a difference, then you become a scientist and you measure how much is the difference. And that's what I'm saying is all of us can be scientists. You don't need a huge amount of training, but we can measure that line which he sprayed with the chemical. Yes, the cobs are bigger, but we've got to measure how much bigger. So carefully we count 20 plants in that line, and we take all 20 cobs. Some of the cobs will be big, some of the cobs will be small, but we take all 20 in that line. And we take all 20 in the line alongside, which wasn't sprayed. Maybe two lines away which wasn't sprayed, because maybe some of the chemical drifted across, and so the line immediately to the side gets some benefit, but we go 2 lines away, the amount of benefit will be less. Then we compare the yield difference. Then we compare the cost difference. Because if this chemical that this man is trying to persuade us to buy is costing us, let's say, 100 quid per hectare, then we've got to be certain that we get at least 1 bag per hectare more maize. We only get 0.5 bag per hectare more maize. It's not enough to pay for that 100 quid per hectare. So, and that's how we learned. There's a chemical on the market which I'm still very, very skeptical about. It's been around for a number of years. They call it liquid lime. It comes in a different names, but mostly it's called liquid lime. It normally comes in a 5-liter kombuli. And what it has in there is very, very, very fine lime powder mixed with water. Under certain circumstances, like tomatoes, if your tomatoes are showing the classic calcium deficiency, this liquid lime might be the quickest way of getting lime into it. But we're actually going to discuss nutrients next week, and I'm going to explain that calcium is one of the nutrients that, I think it's number 4, crops use mostly oxygen, mostly carbon, then nitrogen. They use lots of molecules of hydrogen, but hydrogen's so light that it doesn't weigh much. And so calcium, by weight in a bag, is far more than any of the other nutrients that come out today. So carbon, oxygen, nitrogen are the heavy ones, then calcium. And then the other ones come after calcium. And we have not been applying calcium to our fields. And the cheapest way of applying calcium to our fields is lime, not liquid lime. Because that liquid lime, put in a 5-liter kombuli per hectare, it's not going to give your crop anything like as much calcium. We need to give our crops 500 kilos of lime. So that's an example of if a salesman comes to a farmer and says, use this liquid lime, you say, come, here's my maize field, choose which line you want to use for your. I mean, we actually shouldn't let him choose his line. We should choose that line at random. Just say, okay, I'm going to throw my hat into the air. Where that hat lands, that's the line that you're going to spray with your liquid lime. And then the lines either side we won't spray, and we come back and harvest, we measure the difference.
Is it possible that a farmer can differentiate do the difference between the liquid lime and the powder lime?
I actually plan, and last week we were discussing the thing about planning. I'm actually planning to do an experiment out at Sibanyati Primary School. Because at Sibanyati Primary School, they've got a whole lot of trees called Gloricidia, which I'm very excited about because they're one of the trees which fix nitrogen. They take nitrogen from the air. We're going to discuss nitrogen next week as well on the radio program when we're discussing nutrients. This air that we're breathing is full of nitrogen, 80% nitrogen. But our plants can't use that. And so we have to go out and put urea on our maize, and we put urea on our sunflowers. If we could get some of that nitrogen out of the air into our plants, then we wouldn't have to spend money on urea. And one of the plants which can do it are these legumes. So soybeans, groundnuts, cowpeas, sugar beans, they all do that. But the one which also does it is this tree called Gloricidia. And they've got it there at Sibanyati Primary School. But I expect that it makes very little seed. The flowers, it's got these beautiful pink flowers. So the whole tree in October will be pink. But it'll produce very, very little seed. And the seed pods, and because it's a legume, pods look like a bean pod, but inside there they'll have very, very few seeds. And I'm convinced the reason it doesn't produce good seed is because those trees do not have enough calcium and they do not have enough boron. So let's say there's 8 trees there. 2 of the trees we will leave as our control. We won't give it anything. The other two trees will give just boron only. The other two trees will give just calcium only, lime only. And I'll use lime, I won't use liquid lime, because to give the trees as much calcium as possible, one bag of lime will give them far more calcium than one kapoli of liquid lime, and cost much, much less money. And then the final two trees will give it calcium and boron together. And then we have to wait the whole year. And this is, again, a problem with science. There's a lot of work involved, a lot of patience. But we wait until next year. All those trees will have the same number of flowers on them, but we'll see how many seeds we get from the different. And my prediction is that those trees that we give the calcium and the boron will produce probably 10 or even 20 times more seeds than the other trees. And so that's an experiment, and I want to do it with the school children, because I want to show them how science can be easy as long as you do careful record collecting, careful planning. That knowledge that we learn, we've learned that forever. We've learned that if you want to get more seeds out of those particular trees, then you can't spend choke, then you can't spend that boron. In Mazabuka, they might only need boron.
So Mazabuka,
see, the Mazabuka soils are different. Underneath all the soil in Mazabuka is limestone.
So they should grow seeds on soil.
Very much so. Very much so. You know, we have discussed it on this program. There are many, many, many different soil types. And even within my farm, up on the top of the ridge, the soil is one kind. In the middle, it's a different kind. As we get close to the damba, it's a third kind. As we get out into the damba, it's even a fourth kind. And so you can't make the same fertilizer planning decision for the top of the field as for the bottom of the field. You've got to make different decisions. And our job as farmers is to learn all of that. But once we've learned it, we can apply that knowledge next year, and the year after that, we can apply that knowledge for the next 20 years. Again, we're running short of time. You have to...
So that was this week's edition of the Grassroots Program. Remember, you can sponsor this show. When you sponsor a show on our radio station, it comes with a great and wide range of benefits. Sponsorships are a minimum of a month and a maximum period of 6 months. So if you sponsor a program, you get free advertisement on our radio and a lot more. So remember to follow us on AfroZamRadio.com. That is our website, www.afrozamradio.com. Follow us on Twitter, it's AfroZam Radio. On Facebook, it's AfroZam Radio. And on Instagram, it's AfroZam Radio. I hope you're enjoying our selection. Remember to tell a friend, help share our platform and let us grow together. We are broadcasting live from Luansha, and we offer the best and cheapest advertisement rates in the country. So remember to hit our marketing department today and let us help you reach more people. Enjoy our next program.